was at a church in Georgia, and I got up to the pulpit, and my mic was dragging along the floor behind me. And anyway, I've learned that I'm not good with these things. So anyway, by the time I finish deputation, I hope to at least be able to wear a microphone. And so anyway, thank you for coming tonight. It is a joy and it is a privilege to be with you, to be able to open God's Word, to share with you what God has laid on my heart. Really, the prayer that I have is, as we go to new churches, Lord, would you please help me to know what you have me to preach? I don't want to preach cookie-cutter messages. I don't want to just preach a message. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, where you preach a message more than once in the same place. We've been in places where I've preached the same message. We haven't. My wife doesn't preach. But there have been places where I've preached the message more than once. Every time it's different. The Lord brings things to mind. And it's amazing. If you were to try to sit down and write down what you wrote, you'd have to listen to it again, because the Lord brings things to mind. And so my desire is that although I have notes, that if God wants me to say something tonight, that He'll bring it to mind. And so anyway, thank you for coming. I went to Ambassador Baptist College, and so the Minions, I was in school with Nate Minion and with Andrew Minion as well. We overlapped a little bit, and to find out that this is their home church, to me, that's neat. That's a real blessing. And so I guess I should say a little bit more about Columbia. If you have not gotten a prayer card, on the back table out there, there are prayer cards. We brought some more tonight. So please, grab a prayer card. Put it on your refrigerator. Make a dartboard out of it. Whatever you want to do, just pray for us. So anyway, on the back's got all of our information, email, website. You can get on there. If you want to present, have the gospel presented to somebody, the gospel's on our website. Somebody can get on there. Sometimes I give these out like tracts. I'm like, hey, God's called our family to Columbia. He's got a website on the back. Why don't you check it out? It's got the gospel on there. And so, anyway, our video is on there if you wanted to see that again. Actually, it's a different one that's on the website. I need to update that. But anyway, if you want to see another one, you can watch that. But anyway, I know why Micah didn't want to come back tonight. He knew I was going to be speaking. He heard me for Sunday school. And anyway, I feel bad that he's under the weather. And he's just been a real joy to meet, as has his sister as well, all the help that she's been. Thank you, Pastor Slagle. I really appreciate the privilege. So tonight, I didn't tell you much about Columbia, but let's do this. Columbia is a country of 50 million people, spread out across over 1,100 cities. Those of you who know much about it, and those of you who are in Sunday school, you've already heard a lot of this, so I don't want to bore folks, but in those 1,100 cities, you have cities of all different sizes. You have Bogota, 10 million people. Medellin, somewhere around 4 million people. The city of Cali, 2.5 million people. But then you have other cities. 500,000, a city we're praying about, Pastor Nariño, 550,000 people. Smaller cities of 80, 85,000 people, no gospel preaching church at all. Not just no independent Baptist church, no gospel preaching church. And so our desire is to see God allow us to see many churches planted. I know every missionary that you want to see many churches planted, and only time is going to reveal how much the Lord allows us to see. And so pray for us that there will be fertile soil, that people will receive the gospel, that they'll grow in grace, and that we'll have wisdom as we work with people. Because we realize that in order to reach, and I know we can't do it, so don't think that I think we can reach all 50 million people, but in order to reach even small sections of that country with the gospel, it's going to take more than us. It's going to take God reaching down and touching hearts and lives of people to go. When we get there and people are saved, it's going to take God working in the hearts and the lives of young men, even middle-aged and older men. It's going to take God working in their heart to where they say, I want to serve the Lord in preaching, and I want to be a pastor of a church, or I want to go to other areas of Columbia. There's some 56 unreached people groups in Columbia. 56 unreached people groups. And I don't believe God's called me to learn tribal languages. My step-grandmother worked in Honduras in the part in between Honduras and Nicaragua. She worked with the Carib and the Mosquito Indians. And that was something unique to what God called her to do. And that's wonderful. She knew three or four languages at least. But that's not what God's called me to do. But God may reach people that we take the gospel to where they would want to go to those unreached people groups so that they can reach them with the gospel. And so the sky is the limit as to what God can do. And so anyway, would you just pray for us that as we go there, that God would open doors, that people would be saved, that lives would be changed, and that we would be able to have the most impact for Christ that we can have by the grace of God for the glory of God. And I won't go any more because there is a message I would like to preach tonight. But if you know anybody that is praying about a country but they don't know where to go, tell them pray about Colombia. I believe God could answer that prayer, and God could call other folks there. We can't call folks, but God can. Let me just say this too. My wife and I were challenged in the area of specific praying at a conference a few months ago. We're praying about a family. This is top secret, okay? So this is just for here, and this is top secret. We're praying that God would work in a specific family's heart and life. And anyway, that if God wants them in Colombia, that they would do that. And what was neat to me is that the gentleman that we're praying for came to me and he said, I just want to let you know, he said, we would be willing to go if God called us. So that's good. So pray with us that if God wants that family there, that he would call them. So anyway, that's just from us to you. Thank you. Genesis chapter 24. The topic of the message tonight is this: living a life that is led by God. Living a life that is led by God. How to know and do God's will. Now, I just want to set the stage here tonight as we come to here. I'm not saying that you have to be in full-time ministry to be doing God's will. I don't believe that. I'm not saying that you have to be a preacher or a school teacher or you have to be in vocational ministry or working for a church or working for a Christian organization to know and do God's will. That's not what I'm saying at all. To live a life that's led by God is not held for an exclusive few. For you to be able to live a life led by God, that is for every Christian. And I genuinely believe that every Christian can make and do and know that they're doing God's will for their life, no matter what vocation God calls them to do. I have a cousin. She married a guy, and you would know him, Alan Probus. My cousin, Ann Smith, married Alan Probus, and he comes here every year, I believe, and has for years. Alan has never, as far as I know, he's never felt God calling him to the ministry. He plays the cello, and he's good. I enjoy hearing him play. And he's doing what God has called him to do in an area that's really kind of difficult, you know, playing for a symphony and having a Christian testimony in a situation like that. And he's doing what God's called him to do in that situation. I don't look down at him at all. I think, wow, man. I could never be that good. But he's doing what God's called him to do. And there's other people, plumbers and electricians, and whatever it is that God is having you do, you can know that you are living a life that's led by God. Tonight, if you came expecting a missions message, I'm sorry, it's not specifically on missions, and yet it is. Because if God wants to lead somebody here to the mission field, if you live a life led by God, you're going to get there. And so anyway, but if you're not called to the mission field, this is good because that means that this message is for you too. And so I hope that as we look at, we're going to look at really two points and then we're going to look at some principles, four key words tonight. I hope that you'll realize that you can have a life that God leads. And so I'm going to actually look at Abraham. The Lord began working on my heart early this week, and I didn't know why God was having me come to this passage. And then hearing Micah last week, I listened to his message where he talked about Abraham and all that. I thought, wow, huh, they've been talking about Abraham. I listened to Pastor Schlegel to a couple messages by him and some things that he referenced in living in light of Christ's return. And so really all of that comes together. It was what God's wanting to do in the believer's life. As we come to the man Abraham, there are some things that we can learn from him. And as you come to this passage of Scripture, really, we talk less about Abraham. We talk about a servant. I don't know about you, but as I read the pages of Scripture, and as I look at men in the Bible, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Daniel and all these great men, I think to myself, oh, if God could just use me like that person, wouldn't that be great if God would just do something through my life? That would be wonderful. But you know what? God uses everybody, and some of them we don't even have written about. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. There's a great hall of faith, but then it says, and others. We don't even know their name, but God does. And God knows what they did. And God knows their life, and he even said, and others. And then that great cloud of witness, we come to Hebrews chapter 12. Seeing that we are compassed with that, let's run the race that's set before us, looking to the author, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so as we come to this chapter, Genesis 24, let me just kind of tell you a little bit what it's about, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. In Genesis chapter 24, you have Abraham coming to his servant. And he says to his servant, basically in the beginning of the chapter, he says, look, you need to go back to my people, to my kindred. You need to find a wife for my son Isaac. And he tells him in the early parts of the chapter, you're not to find my son a wife of the Canaanites, but you're to go back to my people. And the servant here, let me see if I can find it. The servant basically says, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I needs bring thy son again to the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And then he says, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake to me and sware to me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Basically, he's saying, look, God's gonna help you in this. God's going to lead you in this. And we find that that's what happens. So as we come to this setting, and as you and I know the story, the servant comes back with a wife. I mean, can you imagine? I can't imagine watching the servant go. Can you imagine? If you had somebody else picking your wife, I mean, I don't know, is there anybody here that's not married? That young man, young lady that's not married? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I'm a missionary. I don't know what you do. Okay? I mean, can you imagine? Okay, you're in this stage of your life and you're not married. Can you imagine your dad or whoever saying, go find a wife for this person? Can you imagine that? Well, you better hope you've been really good friends with the servant, right? I mean, I'm all the time telling, I have a brother and a sister that they're not married. Yeah, anyway, so. And you know what? They tell me all the time, look, I'm going to pick my own wife. I'm going to pick my own husband. They don't want my opinions. And I've given my opinions because I love my brother and my sister. And I give them my opinion. And I say, man, you got to meet this person. This is hot, right? Anyway, we'll move on. Okay, so. So this servant, he goes and he makes this journey, and I didn't look how far it is, but it's quite a journey. And he goes back to where Abraham's from, and he goes to the well, and you and I know the story. And he sits outside the well and he prays, and he says, God, would you please help if you've sped me on my way? Would you please help the girl that comes out and she offers to water my camels? Basically, if she offers to water my camels and to give me drink and water them also, help that to be the girl that you'd have for Isaac. What a prayer. So basically, he got his wife because someone gave water to camels. I mean, it's an incredible story, and we read that, and we think, wow, what a story in the Bible. But as we look at it, it's just full of the leading of God. And I love in my life, as I look at the things that God's done in calling us to Columbia, I like to look and see, man, God has led here. This isn't just something that I wanted to do. If you're going to go to the mission field, you better know that God's leading you to go there. You better know you're called to go there. I'm not afraid to say called, by the way, in lieu of our conversation earlier. I believe God's called us to go to Columbia. I believe God's led us there, and we've seen the demonstration of that. If I'm going to take five kids and I'm going to go into a country where other missionaries that have served there before say, when you're there and you visit this year, you need to make sure you keep your eyes on your kids and keep them very close to you at all times, because they'll kidnap little kids. I mean, When you hear that right before your trip, you're like, okay, you better know that's where God wants you. And it doesn't mean that you go forward in fear, but if you know that's where God wants you, then you go forward knowing that's what God wants. And so you see God's leading in your life and you make decisions. But that can happen if you're in business. That can happen in anything. You can make decisions as a family. You can make decisions about a church. You can make decisions about a school. You can do all kinds of things in your life if God's leading you. And can I just say this? I love this. Pastor Slagle made this statement this morning. He talked about the mountaintop experiences, and our lives aren't just those mountaintop experiences. Well, so it is in the leading of God. We're not looking for signs written on the wall and writing in the sky and all that kind of thing. That's not what we're looking for, but we do want to know that we actually are seeking God's face and we're seeing Him guide us. So, first point I have is this: if you're going to live a life that is led by God, you must develop a walk with God. This is true for any Christian. You say, wow, that's really basic. It is. But praise God that in order to know and do God's will, it is basic. God's not hiding His will from you and me. Whatever God, the things that God wants you to do, God's not hiding that from us. God wants you and me to know His will far greater than even we want to know His will. As a little kid, I prayed, Lord, please don't send me to Maryland and please don't call me to Columbia. I'll go anywhere you want me to go, but please don't do those two things. When I graduated from Bible college, the first place God moved us is back to Maryland. I worked at the church my dad is at. All right, well, and then God calls to Columbia. So if it were up to me and what I wanted, both of those prayers really weren't answered, but God led. But if we're going to live a life that's led by God, we have to develop a walk with God. Verse 40, you say, where do you find that? Verse 40, this is what the servant says. And he said to me, talking about Abraham, the Lord before whom I walk, this is Abraham speaking, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. You say, wait. This is Abraham. This isn't the servant. Okay, I'll give you that. But if you look at this passage of Scripture, can anybody just say, what is one thing that you find the servant doing in this passage of Scripture related to God? Anybody care to just guess? Praying. Okay, so if you wanted to say, well, Abraham is the one that had the walk with God, can I just say a servant that prays is a rare thing? I think the servant learned from Abraham how to walk with God. And not only did he learn how to walk with God, but he learned how to get answers to prayer from God because he learned from Abraham, who did walk with God, how to pray. And so, yes, God wanted this bride for Isaac because this was the line of Christ and all that, and that is true. But the one who got to ultimately bring that wife back was the servant. And I think that's one reason why Abraham could say to the servant, go get me a bride for my son, because he knew that servant walks with God. That servant prays. That servant's not going to just go grab a girl because she'll come. He's going to go get God's will for my son. And so if you're going to live a life that's led by God, you have to develop a walk with God. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, we walk with God by knowing and obeying what God says. Verse 7 of Genesis chapter 24. The Lord God of heaven, which took me, Abraham saying, from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake to me and sware to me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he will send his angel before thee. So basically, Abraham here says, look, God told me to do something and I did it. That's just the basics. I think it was a message last week or the week before. Your pastor, he talked about the will of God. Much of the will of God's already known because it's written in the Bible. We don't have to say, Lord, do you want me to pray? It's written all over the Bible. Pray without ceasing. You know, brethren, pray for us. There's all kinds of things that are in the Bible that the Christian should be praying. Going to church. Do we need to go to church? Yes. Why? Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together with other believers as the manner of some is. Those are foundational things, but there's other things too. Lord, should I marry this person? Well, are they saved? Well, no, they're not saved yet, but, you know, I could lead them to the Lord. Well, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers as the manner, you know. So there's things that are clear-cut in Scripture. Do we need to witness to people? Yes. We're supposed to take the gospel in all the world. Should we be involved in missions? Yes. There are all kinds of things that are clear-cut in God's Word. And as we get in the book and the book gets in us, then we make those decisions because we know the will of God through the Word of God. And can I just say this? The surefire thing to do is the things that you know that God wants you to do, start doing those and doing consistently. And as you start doing those, some of the things that maybe are more subjective and we have trouble figuring out, God can help us through those. And those four words in a minute that we're going to go over, I think those will help through some of those other areas. So number two, we walk with God by separating from the world. And I kind of touched on this. Verse 7, basically, Abraham left his kindred. He left his people. And he went the way that God had. Christians need not let it destroy them that the world doesn't want to spend time with you. My wife had a conversation with her mom on the phone. She has a family member that is not saved. And just tearing her mom up because the relationship's been restored as her mom and her dad are walking now with God and going to church every service. They had a great relationship before, but now that they're doing that, they don't want anything to do with them. And we need to reach those people, yes, but you know what? We separate from the world. We can't do the things we used to do. And that begins to purify and cleanse our life. So We can know God's will because of seeing what he says, and as we separate from sin, we get closer to the Lord. Number three, we walk with God by going forward in faith. He shall send his angel before thee. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever made a decision where you didn't know the outcome would be, but you knew because the Bible said, I need to do this. Has anybody ever made a decision like that? I need to do this because the Bible says, but I don't know what the outcome will be. Maybe it's taking a stand for Christ in the workplace. Maybe it's something else that you've done. Maybe it's deciding that, you know what, I'm saved, so I'm gonna tell my family I'm saved, and I'm gonna maybe go to church, or all kinds of things. We step forward in faith and obedience to God's word, and God begins to show us his will. Number two, not only do you have to have a walk with God, you have to have a life that, in order to have a life that's led by God, you have to develop your prayer life. And I'm going to touch a little bit more on this in the end. You have to have a prayer life. If you're going to know things that God wants you to do, in business, if anybody in here owns a business, I think you probably are. Because if you're in business, you're like, Lord, I really need help. I can remember praying, Lord, would you please help this contract to sell? I know that sounds terrible, but I can remember, Lord, please. So you can pray about every area of your life. There is nothing about your life as a Christian that God doesn't care about. There's absolutely nothing about your life. It doesn't matter what you do. God cares about your life and that you live a life that's pleasing to him. It doesn't mean that it's a bed of roses, and it doesn't mean that everything always succeeds. But we should develop a prayer life. And can I encourage you this? Pray specifically enough to know when God's answered. We know that the servant prayed here. He said, Lord, in verse 12 of Genesis 24, Lord of my God, master, or my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. And look how specific his prayer is. If you have your Bibles there in Genesis 24, 13, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men come out of the city to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel whom I shall say, lay down the pitcher, I pray thee, that I might drink. And she say, drink, and I'll give thy camels also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. So basically he's saying, Lord, I don't know what your will is. But Lord, would you please help it to be that the one that says, look, I'll give you a drink and I'll give your camels drink, help that to be the one that you've chosen. Lord, would you just do that? And then it happens. Pray specifically enough to know when God's answered. Some of the problem with us in not knowing God's will is we pray so generically that if God answered our prayer, we would never know he answered it. You know, I'm not talking about, Lord, if you want me to buy a Corvette, would you please help the stock market not to crash? I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But we need to pray specifically enough that if God answers, we can know that he answered it. I gave an illustration this morning to the men. This is free for you ladies. And I talked about my wife. And my dad said, look, Matt, you need to pray if God wants you guys together that you'll get to be around each other and get to know each other. Maybe she's God's will, maybe she's not. And in a way that's not dating. And the next semester, God put us in the same church plant. We didn't orchestrate it. I didn't fight for it. God did that. Now, I thought, wow, okay, this is God's will. I'm going to marry her. You know, it didn't work quite that quick. 3 years later, she was praying, and God answered her prayers. And so now you not only have God answering my prayers about her, you have God answering her prayers about me. When you stand in front of an altar and you say, I do, what a wonderful thing to see God answer our prayers. And you can go forward in that confidence. But in all kinds of areas of our life, pray specifically enough to know when God's answered. When God answers, be willing to move forward with confidence. Verse 33. Basically, the servant has had an answer to prayer, and he gets there with Laban, and he says to Laban, look, I can't continue on unless I tell you the reason I've come. And he tells him this answer, or tells him this prayer that he prayed and what happened. And so when God answers, be willing to move forward with confidence. He could charge forward and say, look, hey, you know what? I think your daughter is the one for my master's son. And so move forward with that confidence. But number three, when you have answered prayer, it will confirm God's will to you and to others. And I know this is generic because this is for all Christians. But when God answers your prayer, it can confirm God's will to you and to others. In the area of missions, it's not enough for a missionary to just say, I'm called. I need to go to a country. And I know that may sound weird to you. But there's a lot of things that have to happen for a missionary to get to a country. God has to confirm his will, not just to that missionary, but to his sending church. If you don't have a Sunday church, you can't go, right? God has to allow, say, they're with a mission board. God uses those other people and those other men around them. And then this thing called deputation. How many of you guys are not familiar with deputation? You can see me afterwards. We'd love to share more. But deputation is this wonderfully refining time in our life as missionaries where God is not just allowing us to present our ministry to churches so that you guys pray for us, but God is confirming His call to us. I believe God's called us. I know God's called us. But you know what? If I was on deputation 20 years and we could never find churches to send us, I would have to say, well, God's not confirmed that, right? God's not allowed us to go. It must not be God's will. And God uses other people around us and counselors and all that kind of thing to help us to know and to discern the will of God. But answered prayer confirms it to even to those people around us. And as we see God do those things, we can know His will. All right, I told you I'd give you four words. Four words that can help you to try to discern God's will. Number one, and this is really a foundational thing, this has to happen for us to know God's will. Yes, we have to have a walk with God. Yes, we have to pray. But Romans chapter 12, if you turn over there, Romans chapter 12. If I was in Sunday school right about now, I'd say, all right, whoever gets there first, stand up and read it. But I won't do that to you tonight. Romans chapter 12, this is a principle. I'm going to give you four P's here in the next, hopefully, very quickly. I don't see a clock. Is there? Okay, I'm sorry. I should have brought my phone up here. Presentation, that's the first P. If you're taking notes, write it down. If you're going to know God's will, you have to make sure that you are in a right standing with Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That's where I got it. It's right out of the Bible. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, look at this, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to know God's will, you have to make sure that you've presented yourself and submitted yourself, and that would be another way to say it, that you've submitted yourself, you submitted your body and your mind to God to live and to do His will. For Christians to say, look, I want to know and do God's will, but to never have given himself to the Lord to do His will, to me doesn't make sense. How can I say that I want to do God's will, but I've never even offered, Lord, if you show me, I'll do it. Now, I'm not saying that you have to walk an aisle, sign a card, sign the rest of your life away. I'm not saying that at all. But you and I need to realize that we belong to God. And really, that's what's going on here. As we come to the Lord and we recognize who we are and who He is, Lord, I am the servant, You are the master, and Lord, I need to know Your will. As we do that, we have done the first part of this, and that is that we have put ourselves in a place to be able to find and to do God's will. Presentation, ownership, who am I? I'm God's. But then as we seek to do those things, look, it says, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's that walk with God. God's changing my mind to be more like what the Bible says and Christ says, and I begin to see things differently. I hope I'm not losing anybody. I'm not going too quick. The second word is this, providence. Oh, this is where it gets exciting. Don't you love providence? How many of you have heard that in the last week? If anybody raises their hand, I'll fall over, unless you're in English class. I mean, you've heard providence in the last week? Wow, praise the Lord, man. That's not a word that you find in nowadays, in the 2020. I mean, how many people go around and they talk about providence? You begin to read old books and you know, if you watch old videos and things like that, you'll see them talk about providence. But providence is a good word. It's not just an old word, it's a good word. Psalm 20 or 37:23, turn there. You say, where do you find that in the Bible? I'm not looking at a verse that has the exact word, but Psalm 37:23. This is where it gets exciting because God is working in your life, whether you realize it or not. If you've not yet gotten to the place where you've submitted yourself to God to allow Him to use you to do in your life what He wants, God wants you to get to that point, and He's working you through conviction and maybe through chastening or other things to bring you to that point. But if you've gotten to that point, God is working in your life, and He's trying to bring you along, and He's coming alongside, and it may be the encouragement of a Christian, it may be the preaching of your pastor, it may be somebody that just is a friend, and they're trying to encourage you to know and to do God's will, and God's bringing things into your life, and really these are where circumstances come in. Psalm 37:23 says this. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." It doesn't say the steps of a missionary are ordered by the Lord. Now, I hope a missionary is a good man. I hope a missionary is one that's right with God. But it says the steps of a good man, the steps of a believer, somebody that's right with God. They're ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. But I think also we delight in God's way because we're right with God. And that's interesting. This isn't my notes. This is free. Okay? It says in Psalm 37, 4 and 5, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." It's not in my notes, so okay. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Let me ask you a question, for those of you who have thought of this. Is that verse saying that if you delight in the Lord, God will give you whatever you want? No, it's not saying that, right? "Delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give thee the desires of thy heart." It's not saying that if you delight in God, God's going to give you everything you want. Go out and play the lottery and win it, right? No, and I don't play the lottery. Bad illustration. It's not what it's saying. It's not meaning delight yourself in God. In the prosperity gospel people, they would love something like this. They'd say, you know, hey, you just do this and you delight in God and everything's good, right? Cancer goes away and you have a good job. No, that's not what it's saying. As you delight yourself in God, there's two things that are happening. One is that the things that God desires, I begin to desire. And number two, because I'm now desiring what God desires, God is able to do those things in my life. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to give you just the Spanish verse here is las peticiones de tu corazón. Okay, peticiones. Does anybody know what that sounds like in English? Sounds like petition, right? That's another thing that we need to realize. The desires of your heart are things that you're actually praying to God about. It's not just that it's in your heart. It's that you're praying to God about. And so as we bring our requests to the Lord and we're delighting in him, he answers those prayers. We find that in the New Testament. Okay, moving on. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. While we are living a life that's conformed to Christ, God providentially guides your path. Can I tell you a few things that God's done? Is it okay if I move away from this pulpit? Okay. I feel like it's so big I need to just stay there. But if I stay there, I feel like I'll go nuts. When God began working on our heart about Colombia, we didn't know that that was where God would have us. We thought we wanted to be there. We knew we wanted to be there. We thought God could use us there. And we knew it was a needy country. But there's countries all over the world that are needy. India's needy. Billions, more than a billion people in the country of India. And I only say, I didn't even think about you. Anu here is from there. Over a billion people in India. God wants people in India to get saved. God wants people in Colombia to get saved. God wants people in Africa to get saved. Is it just because I like Spanish? Well, my wife likes Russian. Why couldn't we go to Russia? You know, she had 5 years. I hadn't had but a year and a half of Spanish. So how is it that you can know that? Because God can providentially guide your path. Let me tell you some things that happened. As we began to pray about Colombia, and we said, "Lord, we're surrendered to do what you want. If you want us in Colombia, would you show us?" by the way, Pastor, can you please stop me if I'm going too late? As we began to pray that, I went to my boss and I said, "Look, you know, I'm thinking about taking a missions trip to Colombia." "Colombia, really? My sister adopted kids from Colombia." "Really? Yeah. You know what? We want to help you take a trip to Colombia. So when it comes time, we want to help pay your way." Now, they didn't. But at that time, he wanted to. So anyway, that's free. Okay. I don't have any grudges. None at all. Now, that wasn't writing on the wall, but that was neat. Our company hired two guys from Colombia. And they started the landscape company. I heard them start talking Spanish, and I thought, I don't want to go to Colombia. Their accent's terrible. But we thought God might be leading us in that way. And so we thought, okay, Lord, if you want us in Colombia, maybe I need to give up my job here at the landscape company, move back to North Carolina. I can go to Ambassador to get a master's. We'll be in missions conference and Bible conference and all this kind of thing. And so God, would you please allow us to sell our house? Long story short, our house sold in less than 24 hours. We were able to get back to Columbia. So we get down to Columbia, or not Columbia, to, yeah, South Carolina is the next best thing to Columbia, you know, or North Carolina. So we get down to North Carolina, and we walk into church. It's been 5 years since we've attended that church, 6 years, actually, going on 6 years since we had been at that church. And we walk in, we sit down, the person sitting in front of us is Dr. Ron Comfort and his wife. We sit down behind them, and they turn around, and they're good to see you again. They're members at our home, at our Sunday church there. We're never there. They're never there. We're good members. They're on in evangelism, in case you're wondering. But they turned around. We happened to be there at that meeting, and they said, so where is it that, so why are you coming back? And we said, well, we think God might be leading us to Columbia. We're just trying to figure that out. Really? Our granddaughter is dating a guy that's from Venezuela, living in Colombia, and he wants to go to Colombia as a missionary. God moves us 500 miles to sit with them. We get on the, we decide that I need to visit Colombia. We're praying, God, would you please help me be able to find a missionary to visit? God opened the door for me to be able to go visit a missionary in Colombia. And I go to the airport, 4 o'clock in the morning, Charlotte Airport, and I get there to the airport, and I go up, and the guy looks at my ticket that was checking my baggage in. Oh, you're going to the most wonderful city in the world. That's where I'm from, the very city I was flying to in Colombia. And over and over and over. And we get back to that church, and somebody, 2 weeks after we get back to that church, another family comes and they join the church. And there's somebody I went to Bible college with. And we were in Greek class together. He was much better than I was. And we get to talking a couple weeks before my trip. He said, okay, so who are you going to visit in Colombia? He said, I have a nephew that's there. It was the missionary that we were going to visit. God was putting those pieces together. We were praying, Lord, would you help us to be able to go down and be able to find somebody that you'd want us to partner with? And God was putting somebody in our sending church that was from the, you know, that was family with that person. So we were able to immediately click. Then we get appointed to Baptist World, and we begin to pray as we're kind of getting ready for that time where you go and you get appointed. And we're saying, Lord, we need somebody to be able to come help take care of our kids. And so that uncle said, you know what, we'll go down and we'll help take care of your kids during that. And I got to thinking, you know what, Peter said that he's going to be back in the States in Florida during that time when our meeting was in Tampa. And so I called him. I said, Peter, I said, we're going to be in Tampa at such and such a date. I was like, I really wanted my wife to meet him. I'd met him. And he said, are you kidding? He said, we're going to be in Tampa the very same week. God moved him, brought him back from Columbia for a medical thing. God brought us from North Carolina to Tampa, Florida, to be there the same week to film much of the video that you saw tonight. You see what I'm saying? God's providentially over and over again putting pieces together that I can't put together. I couldn't have pulled those strings if I wanted to. Hey, Peter, why don't you fly back with your whole family and I'll fly down to Florida and we'll meet in Tampa. You can't do that. You can't orchestrate that. But God doesn't just do that for missionaries. God does that for Christians. Think about how you got to this church. How did you find out about this church? Who was it that knocked on your door? Who was it that invited you? You're here because God wants you here. God brought you here. God put those pieces together. And God's gonna do wonderful things as you and I, as we grow in grace, providence. Okay, so you say, well, there's these things happening in my life, but how do I still know? I mean, just because God did all that, does that mean God wants me in Columbia? Well, I mean, you could technically say, well, you know, Lord, I need a little bit more proof. Like Gideon, he got out there and he put the fleece out and he said, God, you know, could you please do it again tonight, but let's switch it around, right? And so, well, peace. So the first one is presentation. I am God's. God, you own me. You own my business. You own, whatever it is, Lord, would you please help me to please you? Number two, God providentially works in your life. That guy that wants to marry that girl that wants to marry that guy, look at how God's led you together. But here's this, peace. Colossians 3:15, and I'm almost done, I promise you. Colossians 3:15. It's in my Bible. I know it's in my Bible somewhere here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I like your page number. That's good. I need to start. All right. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. How many of you like sports? Okay. All the men raised here. No, not really. You like sports. What happens when the guy catches the ball in midair and he's running down the field and he steps, or let's say he catches the ball and he comes down and he's got one or both feet outside. It's the referee says it's football. Okay, the referee says it. This one for my wife. No, I'm kidding. It's out, right? It's not a catch. Yeah, it looks right. Yeah, that's great. That was a great play. Good catch. But if the football player catches the ball outside of the line, guess what? It's no good, right? If the basketball guy shoots, but it's right after the buzzer rings and it goes through the net, guess what? It doesn't help him at all. And in the Christian's life, there's this thing that God's given us. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's, if you will, God's umpiring. God's calling the shots. He's ruling in our hearts. And He uses our conscience and He uses the Holy Spirit. And for the Christian, He uses the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to make decisions in our life, sometimes it's like the alarm going off when I'm cooking, and it begins to beep, and it begins to sound, and there's no peace. And it's as if God's saying, stop, don't go forward. We find this in the New Testament in missions. We have Paul, and he is said to go into Bithynia, but the Bible says the Spirit suffered him not. Now, Paul, he was surrendered to God, right? He was wanting to do God's will. He was having God lead. God had called him to missions. He was supposed to go into all the world. Why can't he go into Bithynia? Because God didn't want him there. God wanted him somewhere else, and he had to go there. God has given the Christian a built-in alarm known as the Holy Spirit to warn us when something's wrong and when we're about to make a decision that's wrong. When you and I face unclear decisions in our life, ask yourself this question, Lord, if you want me to do this, would you give me peace about this? Now, that doesn't mean there's all kinds of Christians that say, well, I had peace about it, so I knew it was God's will. If it's against the Bible, just because you think you had peace about it doesn't mean it's God's will. Well, I knew I should divorce my wife and marry that girl because I had peace about it. No, that's against the Bible. But peace, God gives peace in our hearts. Let me just tell you how this worked for me in the last week. So this last week, I didn't have a meeting. And we're praying, Lord, when we finish, we need to do some language school. We need to do a period of language school. We need to know where to go. The only two options I know about is one down in Costa Rica, where the Catholic priests come into the language school and they teach in the chapel. And this is a language school for missionaries. And I think, well, that can't be God's will for us. Why would we take our family down there and do that? So there's this other one I heard that it used to be a Baptist school. Now they need some help, but anyway. But it's a language school for missionaries. And I thought, well, let me go down and check it out. It's in Texas, in no man's land, in between the Rio Grande and where the actual border is down there. And so anyway, I get down there, and I'm just like, Lord, would you please do some things to give me peace, to show us that this is real? Lord, I'm not looking for a sign, but Lord, would you please help me to know? And you know some neat things that God did this last week? I went to church. My wife and I were praying, Lord, would you please help Matt to find a church, the very first church he goes to, so that he can have more time to go to it to get to know it better, not just go to three different churches, you know. And I got there, and we walked, and I looked it up online, all that kind of stuff. But I got in there, and I talked to the man. He had been a missionary in Mexico for over 30 years. He went there when he was two with his parents because they were missionaries. And he found out we're going to Colombia, and he said, you know what? He said, my wife grew up in Colombia. Her folks were missionaries. Independent Baptist, solid, good missionary, good church, good music, everything that we had been praying for. And just to throw it in on top, like the cherry on top, God said, you know what? I'm going to put a missionary there that his wife was in Colombia. Your wife needs to hear Colombian Spanish, not just Spanish, right? Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that God wants me to go to school. But that's a good thing that can help build peace. That's something that God is providentially putting in place. I then talked to the president of the college, the dean of students, used to be a missionary in Colombia. That's cool. I said, hey, do you ever know this missionary? I wrote him a letter this morning. It was a missionary that our church supported for years. I wrote him a letter this morning. Looked at me, how do you know that? God was beginning to do things. And so as we look at that language school, now we can say, well, this isn't just a shot in the dark. God's already doing some things here. Peace. And last thing is this, and I'll close. Prayer. You say, wait a second, you already did that. Yes, I did. Prayer. James 1:5, and I know I've talked about prayer many times. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. 1 John 5:14-15 says this, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Can I ask you this question tonight? When you pray, do you always know God's will? No. You say, well, I didn't mean to answer for you. But you don't always know God's will. I don't always know God's will. The Bible says that we don't know what to pray for like we ought. But the Spirit himself, he makes intercessions for us and with groanings that can't be uttered. And we know that. And if you're like me, you think to yourself sometimes, Lord, I'm praying for this. But I don't know your will, so how can I pray for your will if I don't know your will? But can I say that there's two aspects of this? It's not just that, okay, I figured out. Let me just say it this way. You don't have to figure out God's will to pray. If you and I have to figure out God's will, and if we already know God's will, then we don't have to pray about it, right? If you know God's will, why'd you sit down and pray, you know? Now, we should pray, yes, I'm not saying that. But once we know God's will, we can move forward in confidence. And so I think that there's another aspect to this. And that is this. This is the confirming act of prayer. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We're praying for His will. But when we see Him answer those prayers, and specific prayers, we can move forward knowing that is His will. That's what He wants me to do. And so, think of it like this. If we pray anything, we should be praying about everything. But if we pray anything that's not according to His will, He can change our heart. And that's happened to us recently on an issue that God changed our heart and our prayers changed. But if it's His will, He can and He will answer it. And when we see the answer, we can know it's His will. I hope this hasn't been too rushed. But you know what? Every Christian can know God's will. God wants you to. If we're going to live a life that's led by God, we need to develop a walk with God. We need to develop a prayer life. We need to present ourselves to Him. Look to see Him providentially leading. Ask, is there peace in my heart about this? And then just look at the act of prayer. Is it confirmed? Has God answered prayer? If there's some things missing there, maybe ask God to help. And I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. Heavenly Father, I